Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you are with me on this 14th day of June 2020. We're going to look at what really helps. And this is a very difficult subject. Sometimes it can be very, very, very depressing when you think about it when you're working with people. And I have been working with them for just about 50 years now and trying to help humankind. It's a difficult thing to do. We're going to talk a little bit about it. I have three lovely messages that were sent to me in the last week, and I thought they would be most apropos. And I want to thank those of you who do listen and do participate by sending me an email with your questions. You can reach me at greg@aspire.org. That's greg@aspire.org, O-R-G. I would love to hear from you. I really would. And any question you might have will be pertinent to me. And here we go. What would really help people? First question comes from Randy in Las Vegas, Nevada. Wow. They're going to open up the strip here, I guess, or they have. I don't know, something like that. You have been around, he said, so you say, for a long time. Actually, what have you discovered, Greg, that helps people, Randy? And then he goes into things that he thinks help people. He talks about the idea of politics, you know, passing laws and things like that. And what else was it? Social media, he went into here, a lot of different things. Randy, we don't use our technology to help each other. We use our technology for entertainment, and it can be brutal. And we also use it for bullying. We've seen that a lot in this world. So when you go to think about what actually helps a person, let's get into that, because it's an interesting question that you bring up. What would actually help you? I'm sure that it all has to do with something in your body, maybe comforting it, making it easier for you to survive. I think most of us think in terms of what makes our life easier to survive, and that's what we think helps us. So anything that would give us money would be a huge help. Anything that would take away the burden of any form of our survival. There's all sorts of forms of survival that we go through. So we have a lot of different things that would help. And mainly those are the things that go back to the old Indian saying that you can give a man a fish, but it's better to help him learn how to fish. We aren't interested in our life. We're interested in survival. We have a very hard time understanding life in general, what real life is. We don't explore it. We explore in science time, and time really is an illusion. We definitely misunderstand that whole process. We don't understand our life with all of the conveniences we have now. I want you to think about this, Randy. With all of the conveniences we have, cars, computers, technology, medicine, they're working very hard right now on finding a vaccine for the virus. There are some real important things that are being discovered, I'm sure, and we know nothing about them. We have all of this technology and this fortitude to find cures, mainly to make money. And with it all, much more than we had, let's say, in Paleolithic days when we were cavemen, how much have we changed? I mean, literally, how much have we changed? Are we better people? Are we doing better things? Are we awakened? You would think after the millions of years of our own existence here on Earth that we would be awakened by now, that we would go past the idea of survival. Think past the body. Think past the idea of longevity, of ease of life, of curing things, of blah, 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 whatever it is. But we haven't. We don't go far at all. We don't persevere. We don't move on. We don't do any of that. None of it. We just don't do it because we don't really understand what we're here for. What would really help a person, I mean, and I'm going to be general about this, would be to understand what life is here on Earth, that you weren't just plopped here due to some biological incident where your mother and father got together and had sexual intercourse. It's more than that. It's way more than that. And the trivializing of our lives and how we make our worldly life so trivial and even our personal lives trivial as a matter of routine over and over and over again, those synapses firing off the same old way, assumption, opinion, bias, all these things that we live with inside our heads. Because we choose to live in this manner, in this way, we cause ourselves a great deal of difficulty and we deteriorate our ability to comprehend the beauty of our life. There's a difference between understanding and comprehension. You can understand theory. You can have an IQ that understands A goes to B to C, to, you know, all that. But to truly comprehend, you have to understand why A and B are here, what we are really doing, what is the bigger picture of our life, and how does everything matter? Everything connects us to something else. There are consequences for our life and the way we live our life. These consequences are deeply important to understand, but most people cannot and will not because they live in the idea that you will never die, or if you're going to die, it's got to be comfortable, and that the meaning of life is nothing more than reproduction and survival. That's it. That's the way most people think. They think in terms of you grow up, you go to college or whatever, so you can earn a living to make babies and then live happily ever after. And maybe eventually you get so filled with such a great life with grandchildren and all that other stuff that you just keel over and die, but you're very happy about that and blah, blah. And that's what people think would help them. Anything in the regard of making that process of being a mate and then a parent and then living your life comfortably, this is all it's about. We don't move any further, any deeper than that. And we don't want to. It isn't that we can't. It's that we won't. We just don't give a darn about it. So when you're looking at what would help and you say, I have been around. It is shocking to me as I sit here in my little studio doing this radio program for you, how long I've been around teaching. It's surprising to me. Honestly, it is. And when I look at my life and I look at what I've done and how hard I've worked over the years to present insights that would obviously help people understand the meaning of their life, which would in turn help them have a new intent for their living, a new initiative for doing the things that they could do that would be loving and kind, I am at a standstill and shocked to realize over the years, not, you know, 50 years. Do you realize? Anyway, it doesn't matter what you realize. When you really think about it, did I help anyone? And what would really help a person? Spiritual awakening or $1 million? Door number one, $1 million. Maybe more. Let's do more because $1 million doesn't buy much anymore. So, you know, $10 million, $100 million. Door number one. having everything you want whenever you want, having to never worry about your survival, your ability to just do whatever you want and let your mind just go into the toilet and poop out into the world. And that's what you get to do when you have that amount of money and do just about anything you want. Or door number two, the mystery of life, the mystique of the mystery, to enter into real life, the authentic. It's unknown. No one knows exactly how it will happen, the way it will happen. No one exactly knows the beauty of it or whether or not there is beauty in it. It's a frontier that is totally different from anything you've ever known in the past. Door number one or door number two? Well, I'm sure, Randy, most people would take door number one. We like to think we're in control of our life and that whatever we do, we are able to manage our life and do whatever impulses us from our human genetics. And that's as far as it goes. And for this reason, Randy, our world is the way it is. Our life is the way it is. And the difficulties of the world, due to our parochial thinking and our mundane mentality, our pedestrian mentality, we just go on and on and on, mindlessly, foolishly, arrogantly, and with great stupidity, we move on and think that hate and fear are the two most important things in life. And if you get a little love in there, you're a lucky guy or gal. And that's as far as it goes. You know, when do you really, help a person? What actually helps a person depends on who they are. If they're the person that, is of the pedestrian mentality, only the things of the world will help them. If they're a person of the heart, the only thing that will help them are the measures of the heart, the degree of the heart, the love. For the love of your life, do you live? There you are, Randy. I hope that helped you. I really do. These are interesting times and peculiar to most people because they've had to be in solitude in their homes, quarantined, and they have to deal with themselves. And I wonder if anybody's going to come out of this so humble that they look at themselves and they say, you know what? I need to change. If I can't be with me, how do I expect others to? Please forgive me. Namaste. I've said this so many times. This whole thing has been a way to reevaluate, rethink the way we are. We're doing with our life, what the meaning of our life is. And those of you who have a very difficult time being alone with yourself or feeling cooped up, why? What's really going on? Can you stand you? Next question. Linda from Los Angeles. She writes us a lot, and I'm grateful. How do you help those who can't or won't be helped? I suspect I'm one of those people. Linda. Linda, I've had hundreds and hundreds of people like you. People who needed help, didn't know what would help them. And even if they did, they wouldn't trust what would help them to help them. This is just the way people are. They live in the fear of their DNA. Your Darwinian DNA is always telling you that you have to survive at all costs. And whatever those costs are, it doesn't matter. As long as you survive, you win. And there's always the fear in the foreground and in the background that eventually you're going to lose that war and you're going to die. So with all of that being said, you ask, what do you do to help those people that need it? Well, we all do. but who can't be helped or won't be helped? That's an interesting question. This is why I chose your question. You always have good ones. You can do nothing. I have been inept, totally inept, when it came to helping people. You can't help them past their pedestrian mentality, their parochial minds, their small, narrow-minded, fearful little attitudes. You just can't help them. What do you expect me to do, or anyone else who's before you? Rah-rah you into it? Logically show you how A goes to B goes to C, and that will help you? People don't believe in the things that will help them. They don't have the mental acuity for it. They just don't have it. And it isn't that they're stupid. It's that they want to be stupid. Stupid people are frozen in fear. They have no sense of who they are. They have no sense of the way they are. They have no sense of any of that. They only have one thing, fear. And they're so afraid of taking the, what I call, or what we call in the work, the fool's leap into the abyss of love. They're just so afraid of that. So the person who can't be helped is frozen in fear and hate. And they're frozen in the idea that no matter what they do, they're doomed. And when you ask these people, what is your worst fear? They'll tell you, I don't know, or they do know, but they don't want to admit it. Or that the worst thing that could happen to them is they would lose everything and just be destroyed. So they think in terms of being destroyed. They think in terms of losing everything and not having the life that they think they should have. So this goes on and on and on in human beings. And what are we to do? You can't make a person understand that what really lives within them that is authentic, which is the love that lives within, the love that they truly are, is worth the price of losing everything that they think they have in this world, which is based on impermanence anyway. There is no way to help people. They're afraid of losing it all. I'll never forget this lady on radio many, many years ago. I was doing a live broadcast, and she said, I believe in giving, but I wouldn't give the farm away. What farm? Maybe that's what it takes. We have to lose the farm. And what would that be? I don't know. For every person, it's different. You can't generalize things, but some things you can generalize. And that one thing that I'm speaking of here is love. What would you do for love? What would you be willing to lose for love? For the love that would allow you to forgive. Would you go to someone who you think has hurt you and unjustly treated you with vengeance? Would your pride go to them and be diminished by saying, would you forgive me? I'm sorry I did what I did, or I'm sorry I acted the way I did, whatever. Would you be willing to forgive to such a point that someone that hurt you, to forgive them, to say it to them that you regret, and then maybe have some remorse for what you've done or what you said? Would you? Probably not. People who we make enemies stay our enemies forever. And that shows how stupid we are, how fearful we are, how inept we are, how angry we are. It shows, and who would ever think of going to someone who has hurt them and say, you know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did. We just don't have it. Pride is so important. We do believe that pride goeth before a fall, and that's not true. Pride goes before there can be healing, before there can be love. It has to fall. And those who won't be helped are stingy. They're not generous. To be in an authentic spiritual practice, you have to be immensely, immensely generous. And by generosity, I mean the first level is that of forgiveness. That is the biggest thing in inner work, to be able to forgive. And if I can't forgive, then I can't enter into meditation and the work. And people will sit there for years sleeping in their meditations, as I call it, not really being active in them, sleeping in them, trying to ignore their thoughts as they pound away at them. And the reason this is all happening is because they will not be generous. They will not forgive. They will not see the bigger picture. They just refuse to do it. And when a person is like that, there is very, very little, Linda, you can do for them. Very little. The help that you get is the help that you allow. The help that you can, you know, sustain yourself in is merely the activity, basically, of biology. And it doesn't really matter at all. In the end, we all answer to our generosity or the lack thereof. Linda, thank you for your kind comments too in this email. And thank you for your tenacity to listen to me. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question comes from Philip. He does not tell me where he lives. Greg, what would help? Finding the source of our problems or getting the help we need? I don't know which works best. I've never been able to find both, Philip. I think what Philip is saying here is, what would help the most? To find out the causation of my pain and suffering or whatever it is I'm trying to alleviate, or just alleviate the pain and suffering, buy my way out of it, or do the pedestrian mentality thing where you just, you know, I got to work harder, I got to do more, I've got to blah, 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 whatever. You know, there was a scene in Star Wars, and I'm not a Star Wars fan at all. I've tried and I've tried and I've tried to get into Star Wars. I can't get into it. It's cowboys and Indians in space. And I tease my stepson about it. I go, pew, pew. That's all you hear is just, you know, instead of arrows and bullets, it's pew, pew. I don't get it. Anyway, I love it when Obi-Wan Kenobi surrenders himself for the sake of something greater. I love that scene. It was just great where Darth Vader, I guess, you know, does him in or whatever. I don't remember it all right now, but I do remember the surrender. I'll tell you something, Philip. It is always important to see the source, the cause of whatever it is that is paining us in this world. It's always important. And never forget that. To find the source, to find the causation of anything, is to find the meaning and the substance of life itself. To find out where I am betraying my soul. And that's the bottom line. Where are you betraying your soul? If you find out where that is and what that exactly entails, then you have found something unique and powerful. And you have found the way, the truth, and the light in you. And if you have done that, you have achieved a great deal in the course of this lifetime. Don't ever think that you haven't. It is very, very important to understand the nature of love and the nature of life itself. So don't betray yourself. Understand the nature of your soul. Find the nature of love in you, and then just follow it. I always say to my students, let love live you. Find that love that lives within you and then let it happen for you. If you let love live you, you will have a very different experience than the one you're currently having. I guarantee it. I'm out of here. Thank you for your question, Philip. And thank you all for listening. Another weekend. I'll be back next week. If you want to, send me a message, greg@aspire.org. Love to hear from you. Have a beautiful weekend. Thank you for listening, and please forgive me, eh? Namaste.